He said, also been greatly helped by the late Dr. William D. Silkworth, a New York specialist in alcoholism, who is now counted no less than a medical saint by AA members, and whose story of the early days of our society appears in the next pages. Now, from this doctor, the broker had learned the grave nature of alcoholism.
Again, as we get into Bill's story, we're going to see where Bill was placed in a town's hospital in the summer of 1933, withdrawn from alcohol by Dr. Silkworth. And after Bill's mind cleared up a little bit, Dr. Silkworth sat down with him and explained to him his ideas about alcoholism. And he said, Bill, I do not believe alcoholism is a matter of willpower. He said, I don't think it's a matter of moral character. And he said, I don't think sin's got anything to do with it. He said, I really believe people like you who are suffering from alcoholism are suffering from an illness. And he said, it's a very peculiar illness. It's a twofold illness, an illness of the body as well as an illness of the mind. And he said, it's been my experience in working with many of the alcoholics and watching them and seeing what happens to them when they drink, that when one of you guys puts any alcohol whatsoever into your system, it seems to create an actual physical craving that makes it virtually impossible for you to stop drinking after you've once started. And he said, because of that physical craving that develops after you've had the first drink, you'll never be able to safely drink alcohol again as long as you live, because a craving will always occur. You'll end up drunk and sick and in all kinds of trouble. And he said, that's why you can't safely drink alcohol. But then he said, you also have what we call an obsession of the mind. He said, an obsession of the mind is an idea that overcomes all ideas to the contrary. And it really doesn't make any difference how badly you want to stop drinking. It really doesn't make any difference how hard you try with your willpower. From time to time, your mind is going to tell you that it's okay to drink. And he said, you'll really believe that this time it's going to be different. And you'll take a drink, you'll trigger that craving, and you'll end up drunk and sick all over again. He said, you can no longer safely drink alcohol because of the body, and you can't keep from drinking alcohol because of the obsession of the mind. And he said, if you can't drink because of the body and you can't stay sober because of the mind, you become absolutely powerless over alcohol. So in the summer of 1933, for the first time, Bill knew what his problem was. You see, up until that time, he'd always thought it was willpower. He thought it was moral character. He thought it was sin. Why would he not? That's what everybody had told him up until that time. And for the first time, when Silky sat down with him and explained the exact nature of the illness, Bill understood his problem. And he said to himself, now that I know what's wrong with me, I'll not have to drink anymore. Self-knowledge will fix it. And we know that shortly thereafter, Bill took a drink, triggered the craving, couldn't stop, ended up drunk, sick, and in all kinds of trouble. A year later, in the summer of 1934, he's back in the town's hospital. Dr. Silkworth this time pronounced him as incurable. Told Bill's wife, Lois, that this guy's going to have to be locked up somewhere, or you're going to have to hire a bodyguard to go with him. If you don't, he's going to die during DTs, or he would become a wet brain within a relatively short period of time. And Bill said he overheard that. And he said fear sobered him up for a bit this time. We also know on our Mistress Day, 1934, his mind told him it was okay to drink. And Bill took a drink, triggered the craving, and couldn't stop. Eddie came to see him then in the latter part of November of 1934. Knowing the problem did not solve it. It's only after Eddie brought him a solution and a program of action necessary to find that solution that Bill was able to recover from alcoholism. So he knew three things that any alcoholic that's going to recover needs to know. Number one, what is the problem? Number two, what is the solution to that problem? And number three, how do you find that solution? And knowing that information, then Bill was able to recover from alcoholism.
Eddie began to take Bill to these Oxford Group meetings. And our book says, though he could not accept all the tenets of the Oxford Groups, he was convinced of the moral inventory, confession of personality defects, restitution to those harmed, helpfulness to others, and the necessity of belief in and dependence upon God, which were the tenets of the Oxford Group, which later on, where they were expanded into the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And one of the things that he liked real well about the tenants, though, was his helpfulness to others. He wanted to help somebody else as he'd been helped. He said, prior to his journey to Akron, the broker had worked hard with many alcoholics on the theory that only an alcoholic could help an alcoholic. But he succeeded only in keeping sober himself. Bill liked to help other people, so he went about trying to gather up these people and take them to these Oxford Group meetings. He was sending them up out of the gutter and taking them to the Oxford groups. He'd go into the bars and he'd pull them off the bar stools and take them to these. Most of them didn't want to go. But he was taking them anyhow. He was enthused about helping people to a solution. But after about 6 months of this activity, nobody was sober with Bill. And so Bill went to Lois and said, "Lois, I must be doing something wrong. You know, they don't seem to really want to stay sober like I do." He said, "Well, why don't you go talk to Dr. Silkworth and see what he has to say?" So he went to see Dr. Silkworth and told him the same thing, that he was trying to help drunks to stay sober. Nobody seemed to want what he had. And he said, "Well, you know, I've heard about some of those shenanigans you've been pulling out there on those streets, been trying to cram that great white flash of spiritual experience down their throat, and they just won't accept it." He said, "Why don't you do for them the things that I did for you? Why don't you talk to them about the illness of alcoholism? Explain to them through your experience about the physical allergy and the obsession of the mind. And if you can get that through to them, then maybe you can talk to them about spiritual experiences."
Dr. Silkworth said, "Bill, every alcoholic I know has two questions. Number one, why can't I drink like I used to without getting drunk? And number two, why can't I quit now that I want to?" And he said, "If you will explain to them the exact nature of the illness as I explained it to you, you will get their attention. And after you get their attention, then you can talk to them about spirituality. But tell them what's wrong with them first." Now, we don't think it's by accident that the very next person Bill talked to happened to be Dr. Bob in Akron, Ohio. So the broker had gone to Akron on a business venture, which had collapsed, leaving him greatly in fear that he might start drinking again. He suddenly realized that in order to save himself, he must carry his message to another alcoholic, and that alcoholic turned out to be the Akron physician. We all know the story of Bill standing in the lobby of the Mayflower Hotel. The business venture had fallen through. Everybody had left him. All of his business partners were gone. He's standing in the lobby of the Mayflower, counting the money in his pocket, realized he didn't even have enough money to pay the hotel bill. And of course, he was very low and very sad and very depressed. He happened to look through a door off the lobby into the bar. And I would imagine the lights were probably low in the bar. Music was probably playing, the smoke was thick, the laughter was great. And Bill said, "I believe I'll go in there, I'll be with people of my kind, and I'll feel better." But as he started to go through the door, his mind began to think about taking a drink. And he said to himself, "If I go in there, I'm going to get drunk just sure as anything." So in desperation, Bill made some phone calls, came in contact with this fellow named Dr. Bob Smith. And I think we all need to remember that Bill didn't go there to sober up Dr. Bob. Bill went there to keep Bill Wilson from getting drunk. This physician had repeatedly tried spiritual means to resolve his alcoholic dilemma, but had failed. Bill was surprised to find out that Dr. Bob was already a member of the Oxford group. Dr. Bob already knew of the need for the spiritual experience. Dr. Bob already knew the practical program of action necessary to have it, but he had never been able to apply it to the depth necessary to recover from alcoholism because he didn't know what was wrong with him. He thought it was willpower. He thought he ought to be able to do it on his own strength. He thought it was moral character. He thought it was sin. Why would he not? That's what everybody had told him up until that time. But when Bill sat down with him and explained to him the exact nature of the illness, for the first time, Dr. Bob understood the problem. And the book says, but when the broker gave him Dr. Silkworth's description of alcoholism and its hopelessness, the physician began to pursue the spiritual remedy for his malady with a willingness he had never before been able to muster. He sobered, never to drink again, up to the moment of his death in 1950. And Bill did something with Dr. Bob that he'd never done before. All those alcoholics back in New York City he had tried to work with, he talked to them about the spiritual experience. But with Dr. Bob, he sat down with Bob, and he didn't even talk to Dr. Bob about Dr. Bob's drinking. I'm sure that Dr. Bob expected him to do that. That's what everybody else had done, too. But Bill said, "Let me tell you about my drinking." And Bill began to relate his own experiences when it comes to alcohol. He began to talk about the many, many times that he was going home from work and just going to have a drink or two and then go home and have dinner with Lois. And he said, "Something would happen in my body and I would be unable to stop drinking." And he said, "I'd end up drunk and I may not even get home that night or the next day or the next week." And Dr. Bob said, "My God, man, that's what's been wrong with me." And Bill said, "Well, there's a doctor in New York City named Dr. Silkworth that explained to me that this is not a normal reaction to alcohol. that alcohol in our body produces this phenomenon of craving, this actual physical craving, and after we once started, we can't stop. He also told him about the many, many times that he'd sworn off drinking. And he said, I've got a tremendous amount of willpower, and Bill did have. Self-made man, everything he'd ever done, he had done on his own strength, unaided. And he said, I tell myself that I'm not going to drink anymore. I'd swear off that I'll never take another drink as long as I live. And he said, that afternoon, I might be sitting in a bar drunk, wondering, how in the hell did I get here this time? Dr. Bob said, my God, man, that's what's been wrong with me. And for the first time, Dr. Bob understood his problem through Bill sharing Bill's story with Dr. Bob. And as soon as Dr. Bob could see the hopeless condition of the mind and of the body, then he began to apply the spiritual program of action to a depth he had never applied it before. He had a spiritual experience, recovered from alcoholism.